Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Vine Edition. And we've got my favorite person, Johnson, on here today. Johnson, how are you doing? How's the summer, my man?
I'm good. You know what? In the midst of a move right now. So I feel for everyone in terms of getting in from one place to another. And then especially with some little ones, there's a little bit extra work to be done that I'm not used to be used to. So, but things are going
good. That's right. You've got a lot of family changes going on right now. So it must be exciting. And a recent home purchase, which is actually a perfect segue into our whole conversation today. And I didn't plan that. That's perfect. So I wanted to talk about this concept of date the rate and marry the home, which is really about, you know, a lot of this fear, if you will, in the marketplace for buyers and sellers that the market has dropped quite a bit. We're talking about GTA specifically for this segment. The values have come down quite a bit, but also the rates have gone up significantly. And because the rates have gone up to historical highs, people are not considering a real estate purchase or in some cases a sale at all. And I think some of that information is misleading. And I think if you peel back the curtain and you actually look at the data, which we've done and we wanted to share today, I think there's some real value. And I believe now is probably one of the better times in the last couple of years to actually be buying a real estate. That's what we want to get into.
Fantastic. I know we're on the same page in terms of our outlook on things. And I think there's a lot of value that can be found in the market right now, especially just going back to a lot of the fear that some people are getting, whether it be different news outlets or just, I would say, maybe bad guidance. I think if you peel back the curtain, there's a lot of opportunity.
So let's look at the facts. The facts are the rates have gone up 2.25% as of the end of August for the beginning of the year. So the last 6 months or so, we've seen rates generally, like, you know, more than double in most cases. It's put a lot of pressures on people's budgets. It's put a lot of pressures on what we use as mortgage agents to qualify for lending, because it means that you're qualifying at a higher rate. And it's really just spooked people in the sense that how high are rates going to go? And are we going to continue to see rate increases? And some people have told me, and I'm sure you as well, I'm thinking of not buying a home right now. It seems a little bit crazy and the rates are way too high. Like, that's a very common thing. So that's a fact in terms of the rates being higher. Another fact is that depending on the market and the type of asset you're looking at, whether it's a condo, a residential home, a detached, that sort of thing. If we look at all of residential GTA, the market is down roughly 24% from the February timeframe this year. And if you look at the math, so we kind of ran some math on our end here. The average property, and we're factoring all residential in February for GTA, was about 1.3 million. As of July, the most recent available data, that exact same average is closer to a little over a million in 20. So the difference between February and July data in the GTA is about $300,000 less for the exact same asset. And that number is really important because it stresses that even though rates have gone up quite a bit, you basically just got a $300,000 or 24-25% discount off of real estate if you're still on the market looking for a home. Even though the rates have gone up 2.25%, because on that exact same home, the monthly payment, because remember, we're using a lower purchase price for the same asset, the monthly payment is actually about, in this case, $30 cheaper. So the monthly payment on a property like that is around $4,400 back in February. But today, the exact same home is just under $4,400, even though rates are significantly higher. So it really does tell us that, hey, you know what? You're going to get I'd much rather recommend a client buy real estate and get this massive discount off of the value, even though the rate's higher. Because as long as you can ride out the wave for the next year or so, then you'll be much better off than someone who was buying at the peak at very low rate and locked in a very low rate.
And I think that comes back a lot to the original purchase price of your home is super important, because like you said, there's a couple $100,000 difference in terms of the initial purchase price. But what that really comes back to then is the cash that you need for the down payment as well.
That's a good point too, yeah.
It's less cash on hand that's needed. And then for some buyers, the $1 million price point is a threshold that can't be passed just due to the minimum down payment requirement, where the second you go over $1 million, you have to have a 20% down payment. There's an opportunity here to get into a property that maybe was trading over $1 million 6 months ago, but you could not buy it just due to your cash on hand. If that same home is dipped below a million, you can get into it with as little as $75,000.
That's a really good point. Yeah, you're right. So any property that early this year was floating around the $1 million range, if it's now come down, you know, say 20, 25, 30%, you no longer need to put down 20%. You put down the 7.5 or 10%, for example, and get into a property that, you know, you may have thought at the time wasn't possible. So I think any client who was looking at a property and has taken a break, I think they really need to reassess what the values now look like for what they're looking for, because I think their budgets are going to be, you know, potentially a lot more favorable, especially in that example. That's a really good example.
Yeah, the way the how far your dollar is going right now, when you look, consider it, the monthly payments for budgeting purposes, if they're similar and you're buying a house for hundreds of thousands of dollars cheaper, that's a win, because the reality is if you look at where things have gone now, where people have stepped away from the market as buyers, well, there's really only two types of use for a home. It's either you're an end user where you're going to live there, or you're buying it as an investor where you hope that you're going to have tenants paying for your mortgage. If you're buying as an end user and you stepped away from the market to now go and now rent still, rent prices have gone up considerably. And what that tells us is just because there's more people looking to rent since less people are now buying. So it shows that the demand for housing is still there. And this is a lot of it's rate driven in terms of why rents are going up, because less people are shopping to purchase as an end user. If rates do come back down, then the supply still isn't there to meet our needs. The prices are going to go back up.
Go back up. Yeah. I mean, and you know, the GTA in particular, and a lot of other markets in Canada as well, is unique in that an increase in rates is not going to permanently, you know, depreciate the values of home, because aside from the fact that there's very strong demand, is we continue to have, you know, record immigration numbers coming into Canada. And these people need a place to stay, whether they're going to be renting a place or whether they're going to be buying a home. The demand for the housing will continue to be available. And I think there's a bit of a lull, which is a very necessary lull, given how much growth we've seen, because the reality is from 2021 to 2022, some areas saw over 30% appreciation. And all we're really doing is correcting for that bit of a craziness. So anyone who's owned real estate for 2 years or more is probably still well above what they bought it at. So this has really only affected anyone who's bought at sort of those very high peaks earlier this year, end of last year, basically. But like with anything, just ride it out, give yourself a little time to, you know, get the values back in. And if you can figure out short-term financing plans, and I do want to talk about that, Jonathan. So what should we be recommending to people? What do you recommend to people on the financing side in helping them get into these properties now?
So for most people, the concern that they always have with rates moving is, what's my monthly payment? A lot of the time, the interest that's paid isn't necessarily something that's the primary focus. But what we want to focus on is short-term solutions, just because as knowledgeable advisors and trying to educate our clients, with the expectation that we are in a fresh interest rate cycle and not the peak of that interest rate cycle right now, they tend to last anywhere from 2 to 3 years. Now, if you combine that with the expected recession and the knowledge that with recessions come lower rates to try and stimulate spending, we would want to be taking shorter term solutions like 1, 2, or 3 years, depending on comfort level, to try and align ourselves with our maturity date into that low interest rate environment. So at the moment, we're seeing a lot of short term fixed rates, but at the same time, there still is valuable and variable rate mortgages, depending on your comfort level, because number one, you're originally qualifying at a lower interest rate, so it can increase your purchase power. Number two,
and can we repeat that, Johnson? Because I think for some people that might go over the head. So what you're saying is basically, if I wanted to get a $1 million mortgage, as an example, if I'm looking at a variable rate versus a fixed rate, the bank will give me a slightly larger mortgage in terms of qualification for a variable rate mortgage, because we use a lower rate to qualify than a fixed rate. And that's a really important point, is by going variable, you can also get a slightly bigger mortgage given how much the rates have changed.
Exactly. And then the biggest thing then to look at when making that decision between a variable and a fixed is what you want to consider is the spread between the fixed rate you're being offered and then your interest rate with the variable at the time of closing, because the difference between those two rates tells you how much prime needs to move or go upwards for your variable rate to be the same or higher. Now, looking at news coming out recently, that there's an expectation of another increase in September, but that should be the final one based on many economists from the major banks. That would say that maybe the variable rate still is a great option, because given where that spread sits at the moment, even with an additional movement, you still would be lower on a variable at this time.
I agree. Yeah, and I think, you know, even though we've also seen inflation data come down a little bit in the most recent data, which is hinting that potentially we're at what's called like peak inflation or peak rates. But that just because we could be seeing inflation come down doesn't mean that the Bank of Canada is going to stop increasing rates. They may want to increase rates just to really make sure that they've done all they can to kind of get rates back in line as much as possible. So I agree with you. I think that in September, even with some of this positive news coming out, there could be another rate increase. And I've been telling everyone, you know, plan for anywhere from 0.5% to 1% more in increases before the end of the year and budget for that. Because I do think that we might start to see rates come down potentially somewhere at the end of next year. And that's where you get all the benefit of, you know, those payments coming down. And what I've been telling a lot of clients is, you know, I say to them, you're almost in a unique position because you're going into a real estate purchase with very high rates. So your budget is accommodating a very expensive rate. When the rates eventually come down, if you plan for it properly the way you're suggesting, then your monthly payments will only get more attractive. Whereas with someone who got into a mortgage at 1.5% and now is seeing the rates at almost 4%, for example, they've had to massively adjust their budget. So it's a lot easier, you know, adjusting your budget downward than it is upward. So I think that's kind of the positive news as well for anyone buying a home right now.
For sure. And we focused on end users in terms of what we're discussing right now. But even as an investor, there's a lot of opportunity right now just due to the fact that if you have the capacity to buy more real estate, rents have gone up right now to a point where even with these higher payments, you can still be in a position where cash flow is attractive or even neutral. And then from there, if rates do come back down and the demand shifts from people renting to now they're prepared to buy and can qualify to purchase again, then the value of your asset will also go up, which would then lead to your ability to even refinance and then continue to grow the portfolio. So for investors, even at the moment, it's still very, very attractive to get in.
I agree. So going back to the thesis and the whole point of this call, you know, date the rate, get a short-term solution right now, but get into the real estate market. It's an amazing opportunity, whether you're an end user or an investor, because the market has come down. There are some amazing opportunities out there. And as long as you're financing short-term and you can manage your budget, there's a lot more growth into the future. So awesome. Well, Johnson, you know, all the best at the new place. And thanks for making some time, man, and being a part of this.
No problem.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Here you go. Thank you.